In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In our first reading, we hear about how Abraham is tested. He's asked to give up the thing that he finds the most dear to him, his only son. He's asked to sacrifice. And Abraham's response is a willingness to sacrifice. And for that, God rewards him. In the responsorial psalm, we heard about the man who is afflicted, and his response is, he offers sacrifice. In the second reading, letter to the Romans, Paul instructs us about how Christ is for us, and he is still interceding with the Father in ways that we don't grasp. And in the gospel reading, in about the Transfiguration, we hear about how the Son, who had emptied himself of his glory, his divine splendor, in order to be with us in our humanity, suddenly reveals something of his divine splendor shining through our humanity. And he does this to strengthen the disciples in the time of trial that is going to come in Jerusalem, as they have to watch what happens to Jesus. They are being strengthened. And the voice from heaven, the voice of the Father, declares the sonship of the Son, but in doing so also, as St. Leo the Great reminds us in the beautiful sermon about the Transfiguration, he reminds us that this is about our own sonship as well, our own spiritual adoption by the Father. We are the sons and daughters of a loving God who is Father. And that this provides a solid foundation for the hope of the church. The hope of the church in all that we will experience. In times of affliction, the Transfiguration reminds us that we one day will share Christ's glory. And he gave us a little glimpse of the glory shining through our humanity in his own person. So we have self-emptying, we have affliction, we have, you know, this lessening of ourselves, and we have sacrifice to God, a God who loves us and still guides our lives in ways that we don't understand, mysterious ways. And we can take from this that the response of the disciple of Christ in the midst of trials is a confident spirit of sacrifice. Now, we, I think, are heading into hard times. Well, for a lot of people, hard times have already arrived, but I think times are going to get harder. In the last week or so, I've had conversations with people who are really frightened. They've seen their pension, existing pension, or their retirement fund reduced by, you know, what, 50%, 60%. Some of them have lost their jobs, or their children have lost their jobs. I was talking with someone yesterday whose son lost, you know, is out of work and came back home, and her mother is going to have to come home, probably come back to live with them, because she just lost her job. We are going to see some pretty frightening times. Really scary times. People are frightened. I'm a little frightened, frankly, from what I watch. We see, for example, massive changes in the way that our government approaches the people in the country, both in the state level and the national level. I think we're going to see some real changes. Some of them maybe not quite so reassuring. For example, just the other day in Connecticut, there was introduced some legislation in Connecticut that would literally take the administrative and financial power away from bishops and priests over their parishes. Did you hear what I just said? That the state would intervene to take away the authority of priests and bishops in their parishes at an administrative and financial level. Well, you know, it's probable that this won't pass. But every once in a while, these things are introduced. And every time they are introduced, the paradigm, you know, the needle gets bumped in a couple of degrees in the direction that the people introduced it, hope that it will go. We have all sorts of things right now that can be of concern for us. We have a time of trial now for some people and a time of deepening trial for some of us, for probably all of us later. The response of the disciple of Christ in a time of trial is a confident spirit of sacrifice. I believe that God will not allow himself to be outdone in generosity. The response of the Christian in time of affliction is a spirit, a confident spirit of sacrifice. As Catholics, we must respond to the difficulties and afflictions and the trials in our life and also in those of other people. And so I would remind you that there are concrete ways that we can respond to a time of difficulty when we are afraid. We're scared about our loved ones or about our own situation. One of the first things that we can do is engage in corporal and spiritual works of mercy. God will not allow himself to be outdone. When we are generous, he will be generous to us, perhaps in mysterious ways. Corporal and spiritual works of mercy. And I've always believed that a parish is the perfect locus to help you coordinate spiritual and corporal works of mercy. But you can always look around you, and you can always see someone who is needy spiritually or materially. And the response of the Christian in his own time of trial is a confident spirit of sacrifice. There are other things that we can do as Catholics to prepare ourselves well for a time of difficulty and to respond to the trials and afflictions that we are already experiencing. Stay close to the sacraments of the church. Make a good confession regularly so that you can receive all the actual graces that God wants to pour out on you and on your loved ones. Receive Holy Communion, the state of grace. Call upon the sacraments which you have received. You who are married, you have the sacrament of matrimony. That sacrament is intended to help you in your married lives, to help you be good spouses. You who are confirmed, the sacrament of confirmation is meant to strengthen you in time of trial. Is there any sacrament that we should think about and reflect on even more in these coming days than the sacrament of confirmation, a sacrament which is so misunderstood? I don't know how many young people I've talked to who in their catechism programs, their confirmation preparation programs, who have said that, well, we were told that the sacrament of confirmation makes you an adult in the church. Well, no, that's not what it does. It strengthens you in time of trial. What happens is a lack of understanding of the sacrament makes it seem as if this is sort of like, I'm now graduating from the church sacrament. No, the sacrament of confirmation is meant to strengthen you in time of trial so that you can make the decisions in the moment of challenge, no matter how difficult it is, make the decisions you need to make according to your Christian baptized character, your dignity as a disciple of Jesus and as a member of the church. Use sacramentals well. These are wonderful tools, so easy to use. Holy water, blessed images, medals, blessed salt, scapulars. These are wonderful tools that the enemy just detests. Remember that you have a guardian angel given to you by God. Your guardian angel, simultaneously as he is with you in your life, simultaneously beholds the face of God and knows his will for you. Remember that your guardian angel is a person, an angelic person, not a human person. But you don't have to be separated by your guardian angel. You can talk to your guardian angel. You can ask your guardian angel to help you. And you can ask your guardian angel to help others. Remember also that there is a great treasury of prayers that the church has approved, which can bring you and your loved ones many graces. Especially among these is the rosary. Pray it. Pray the rosary, especially as a family in the family home. The Second Vatican Council described the family as the domestic church. Churches should be filled with prayer, whether they are the parish church or the domestic church. Something that never hears the sound of prayer is really just a tomb, isn't it? Turn your home into a domestic church by filling it with prayer. Pray the rosary together. But also remember a morning prayer when you rise and a prayer of thanksgiving when you go to bed, along with an examination of conscience and prayer before and after meals. Folks, these aren't, you know, like extravagant things I'm talking about. This is just simply what it is to be a Catholic. It's all part of our Catholic identity. It's part of our heritage. It's part of who we are. And it also must be part of who we are with a confident spirit of sacrifice in time of affliction, time of trial, both present and in times to come. So, if you are of the habit of going home and perhaps looking again at the scripture readings that you had at Holy Mass on the Sunday before, and do that once in a while during the week, don't skip over the second reading from Paul writing to the Romans, when he said to not only to the Romans, but to every one of us, if God is for us, who can be against us? If he did not spare his own son, but he handed him over for us all, how will he not also give us everything else along with him?